I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And we're just here today recording another episode for you. How are you doing, Jen?
Well, a couple of things. It's our 100th episode.
This is our 100th episode? That's so crazy.
I'm so sorry. We're going to have to like put a pin in this and celebrate it later. I'm just too fucking busy to celebrate it today. But, yeah. You know, hi. But it is our 100th episode. Hello.
Yay. So amazing.
Yay. I'm having a real crisis of confidence this week. I don't know. Has that ever happened to you? I just am like, I'm feeling really scared. It's my last week of writing my book. I wrote the book. The book is open on the screen behind the screen where we're recording this podcast. Mm-hmm. I wrote it up to the second that we're recording, and I will continue writing afterwards. And I'm frantic. I'm frantic. I feel exposed. I can't believe that I wrote a book this personal. I'm disappointed that it's not what I thought it was going to be. I have no perspective on what it is. And I feel really fucked up.
But who doesn't, when they're finishing their book, who doesn't feel a little snowblind and a little dazed and a little bit like, I didn't mean for this to come out, and why didn't this whole other awesome thing come out? But it's your first draft of the book. I mean, it's just still kind of early, which is good and bad, I guess.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just next Monday, by the time when this comes out, my book will be, unless I lose my nerve, my book will be with the first round of readers, my editor and my agent. And that is a really terrifying moment to know. And it will be with my husband. And I write a lot about our marriage, and it's just really scary. So I'm feeling really scared. But I will say, as you get older, and this is one of the real pleasures and benefits of getting older, I approach this second book so much better than I did the first. I feel all of these feelings, but I can identify them. They're not taking over. I at least am aware of what's happening.
When I was working on my book before I decided not to do it, I was so embarrassed to show my editor what I'd been working on that I hired an editor. I hired a freelance editor, and I mentioned it at one point to my book editor, and she was like, why did you do that? Like, I mean, if you want to, fine, but like, do you not feel like I'm capable of editing your book? And I was like, no, I just want you to see what shit it is.
Right. No, I know. And that's the thing. It's like, the mature way to handle work and the healthier way to handle work of any kind is not to hoard all the work, not to be afraid, to understand that it's a collaboration and that you can only do so much and not white knuckle it like that, you know?
It's true.
Without the shame too.
It's true, but it's slightly different when it's creative work.
Yeah.
Because it you know, if you work selling real estate, then you're not going to feel as much of your soul on the line every day.
True.
You know,
true.
you might feel a lot of things and you might get a lot of meaning out of what you do for a living, but your soul isn't on the line. And the kind of writing you've been doing is intensely personal and also is intensely personal about people who aren't you.
Yes.
And I can see where that would be very stressful.
It is very stressful, but I will say, I think that all work is best when it's collaborative, is my real new idea about things, because we are not alone here, even though it often feels that way. And you can't have perspective on yourself. You need other people, just like you need other people to be in community with other people to know who you are and how you are. You can't sort that shit out on your own.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same for your work. And I just have figured that out, that it's okay to let go before it's perfect, just like it's okay to show up with someone who loves you without being perfect.
Right.
I think I was afraid to let people know me for years because I didn't want them to know how imperfect I was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's the same with work. And you know, I actually am out of my mind and I don't even know what I'm talking about because I've just been working so much.
Yeah, I don't think you probably do have any perspective on what you're writing right now. And how can you? How can you? You're in such a heightened zone.
I am. But I'm excited for it to be over because I'm excited for the projects on the other side, including our secret project that we're going to start working on,
our next project. I'm very excited for our secret project. And the other day, Paul was like, why don't you start working on that secret project? And I was like, I gotta wait. Gotta wait for Romolini.
You could start where I would not be. If you started working on it, I just feel like you won't.
Yeah, that's more likely. You were an easy excuse.
But you, I would not be mad if you started working on our secret project is the thing. I would not be mad. I would be excited for you. But I'm excited to start working on that. And I'm excited to dedicate more time to the podcast. There's a lot of guests we want to book. And, you know, there's just a lot. There's a lot. I feel really excited about the next stage of getting, of being at the end of this Shawshank tunnel I've been in for the, like, you know. For like that started like 4 years ago, and it feels like I might finally be coming out of, which is exciting. But so yeah, that's how I am. A lot of listeners, and I want to say thank you so much, wrote in really kind parenting support. And I want to say thank you. That always means so much to me because I was really struggling last week with parenting. I think I'm struggling a little less this week, but anyway, thank you for that. How are you, Kim France? How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm really fine. Everything is pretty good. I just realized this week that I've been doing Girls of a Certain Age for 10 years.
Wow. Wow. That's a long time.
Oldest living blogger. No, it's nice. It's nice, but it is a long time. You know, to do the
same
thing.
How do you feel about it? It is the same thing. How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like the best thing to come out of my blog is the community around it.
Mm-hmm.
And the women who've, you know, who've made themselves regulars and made themselves regular commenters. And I feel very devoted to them. And I feel very devoted to keeping this community going.
Right.
It gets hard to think of a different clothing item to post about every day or a different beauty product or a different item for the home. You know, that stuff, that gets to be a grind, but it does for anybody.
I think that doing the same kind of writing, while it makes you really good at that kind of writing, it just burns you out.
It does. I go through phases when I feel burnt out by it. I feel, you know, I don't know. I like it. You know, I do feel a little antsy. I feel like I need a project. I feel like I need a new project. And I have our secret project, and that's going to be
our secret project. Our secret project is seriously, our secret project begins Monday. So
awesome. Okay. Then I don't have to worry about this anymore.
You don't have to worry. Okay. You don't have to worry.
My other thing I've been thinking about is leaving the city.
Wow. Oh my God. End of an era.
I feel weird even saying it. I don't think it's going to happen right away. I'm re-signing the lease on the place I live in now. But I leaving the city. It's a possibility.
What? That's so funny because I have fantasies of moving back to the city. But what do you want to get out? Why? Let's talk about it. Why would you want to leave the city? And what do you hope would be different in your life if you did?
What do I hope would be different in my life? I mean, I would like the view out my bedroom window is pretty, but I would like I would like to wake up in the country every morning.
Okay.
I would just like to wake up in the country, look out the window and see nature. I'd like to be able to have a big yard that dogs could run around in. And I would like room.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would just like room. And, you know, since I moved to Brooklyn, something interesting has happened, which is when I go into Manhattan, I'm really overwhelmed. It's just too much, too many people on the street, too much stuff going on. And even in Brooklyn, I just feel like, you know, the city is weird right now. It still is. And, you know, there aren't as many social services as there usually are. So there are people who are, you know, in need of help and desperate on the street a lot.
Yeah.
And I had a really kind of unpleasant interaction in a Duane Reade a couple weeks ago where I think I talked about it. But
you didn't.
It was very weird. A woman was standing in line in front of me and started kind of harassing me for no reason that I could tell. Hmm. And so I turned to the woman behind me and I turned to the woman in front of me, and to both of them I said, did I say something to her? Like, do you know what this is? Like, I was just confused. Neither of those women would even acknowledge my existence. And it was just it's not like shit like that happens every day. You know, it stuck in my mind. Like, this desperate woman was harassing me. And then those two women were like, I'm not getting involved with the craziness.
Right.
And, you know, I know that, you know, there are desperate people and lacks of social services everywhere. I just, it gets harder to live here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't feel like, you know, there was a subway shooting. That's terrible. That's awful. That's tragic. Right. And it's amazing that nobody died in that subway shooting.
Yeah.
But it's not like I feel that way about the city. Like, I don't feel like, you know, New York has reached some breaking point and now is no longer livable. It's just what I care to tolerate now.
Yes. Yes. And also, one of the reasons we left was because the things that make New York great, or some of the things, a lot of the things that we loved about New York, were no longer for us.
Mm-hmm.
We were not going out at night anymore. Right. We had a baby. We were not like, you know, going to an amazing restaurant and then, oh, great, because there's a bar four blocks away that you also want to go to. And there's all, you know, there's like, I'm going to just suck up everything the city has to offer, which is like a packed in day, you know, of just like a million things. And we didn't want that kind of, we couldn't have that kind of life anymore because we had a baby. And even the other day here, because I live in a, you know, I live in a more, you know, New York-y part of Los Angeles. And I work out of a writer's cottage some days. I rent a desk in this writer's cottage. It doesn't matter. But it's on like right off the main strip. And I was walking home at about 8:30 at night. And, you know, people were out, really dressed up. You know, people looking to hook up, people looking to have just like a scene that is not my scene anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Loud restaurants where you can't talk to people in them, you know, just like piles of people on the street. And I was thinking, like, why do we live in this expensive neighborhood where none of these amenities are really for us anymore?
Right. Right.
You know, and you do shift. I worry because I have some of those same inclinations. I worry about that move out of a city.
Well,
I don't know why.
I worry for community reasons, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that you know, connect. I've never been good at connecting with new people. Like my mother is insanely good at it and just picks up friends wherever she goes. But I've never been great at that. You know, I've traveled alone, but I'm not one of those people who, when they travel alone, like meets people. I'm just one of those people who gives out a force field that says, like, don't come anywhere near me. So I do worry about that. I mean, Paul is much, much, much better at that. He's, you know, very affable and very easy, you know, it's very easy for him to make friends. So I think I'd have that. I could lean on him. But I do worry because, you know, you look at upstate, like half of Brooklyn has moved upstate. So you don't have to worry about company. I mean, if anything, it's overrun with people from Brooklyn.
Yes. I also, that's the thing. I worry about the isolation, but it occurs to me that you and I both have gregarious, very social mothers who just know how to who move through the world socially, at least with ease. Mm-hmm. And like my mom has a million friends. My mother is never not talking to one of her friends, having lunch with one of her friends. And I feel like a social troll. Like I am just don't come over. Don't see me. I wonder, and I'm putting my hands over my head and ducking while I'm
like
saying
you're
this.
A troll who's hiding.
Like,
yes,
exactly. Eh. I wonder what that is, because we both had, you know, good social skills modeled for us, and we're neither of us. What do you think that is?
I don't know. I've just always felt like it was just my essence, you know? And like, if you met me, you might like me. Like, if we met under some circumstance, but like, you know, people say, oh, you know, go to a yoga class. You'll make friends at yoga. I'm like, I'm not going to make friends at yoga. I'm not going to like try to talk to anyone at yoga.
Well, also, I think I'm an acquired taste. I don't think that it would just be like, yep, that one. That's the person I strike up by the pool. You know? No.
Yes, I feel the same way. I feel the same, a lot the same way sometimes. Like, you know, it's kind of amazing I have any friends at all.
Yes. Well, I feel like, because I'm also cantankerous. Like, I feel like, remember in The Lost Daughter? Did you ever watch The Lost Daughter?
I watched about the first third of it.
Okay, that's all right. No judgment. But anyway, she's just like, she's not making friends on that vacation. Every time someone comes around her, she's like, I'm here to be alone with my fucking thoughts. Like, get away. And I feel like if you have a little bit of like misanthrope, which comes usually from, you know, not really liking yourself that much, you're just kind of doomed. But anyway, that doesn't mean you shouldn't move to the country.
Well, it's a live topic. It's not going to happen, you know, right away, like I said, but I am thinking really seriously about it. I think it would be nice to live in the country and have like five dogs and just become one of those people with a big dog smelly house, you know?
I think it would be nice too. And like, just the flip side of that is just, when I was in Iceland for that month, and I was right near a lake, and every day I walked down to the lake and I got to see the lake change every morning, you know, depending on the weather. And it was an incredibly grounding experience to be in nature in that way and to be humbled by nature and, you know, just observe it quietly. Mm-hmm. And I think that we really, most of us really miss out on that part of life, which I think connects us to something more primal.
Yeah.
And I think that could be a really beautiful way to spend this next part of your life.
I think it could be too. You know,
I think it could be too. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Go.
No, you go ahead.
I had nothing. I was going to say, so Elon Musk is buying Twitter.
I know Elon Musk is buying Twitter, and somebody published something on Twitter yesterday about how something like $39 billion would solve homelessness in this country.
Right.
This is something I really don't understand. I mean, Mackenzie, what is her last name? Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
I don't know, but yes,
anyway, she got her divorce settlement and has just been spreading it all around, you know, but most of these guys and most of the people in Hollywood are not philanthropic, and I don't understand it. I don't understand why somebody like Jerry Seinfeld or Larry, you don't hear more about, I mean, Larry David's pretty involved in the environment, but
right.
you know, Jennifer Aniston, why do you never hear? I mean, maybe she quietly gives away millions. I don't know.
I think she gives away millions to children's charities. But really? I mean, but yeah, but she's not at an Elon Musk level. We're talking about these billionaires who, instead of like wanting to solve homelessness, you know, shoot themselves into space. I mean, when I think of Bezos in that little fucking space suit.
I know. Like, how about what he looked like afterward when he was wearing cowboy boots?
Maybe a cowboy hat too. Like, it's so fucking embarrassing.
Jeff Bezos is having, you know, to my mind, like the most spectacular flame out of a midlife crisis that I've ever seen. And it's just gross. I mean, it's just gross. And he deserves to do whatever he wants and to follow his bliss, but I think he's gross.
I think he's gross too. And I think we shouldn't have billionaires. I mean, look, I agree with Elizabeth Warren. There should not. Why? Why does anybody get to hoard all our money? Elizabeth Warren is right. They're like, I'm self-made. No, you were made on the streets that taxpayers paid for. You were made with, you know, there's a million reasons why these people became.
You were made on the backs of like low paid warehouse workers. It is kind of amazing, though, that they successfully unionized here.
I know.
It's exciting. Nothing makes me cry, but I was reading that article and I was like.
No, it was exciting. That's exciting. And I did see, you know, Elizabeth Warren, whatever, we don't have to get into politics, but I did see her out on the morning shows this weekend just being like, these people are cowards and traitors. Like, I just saw her out there just being like, listen, let's just start saying the truth. No more like pussying around this shit. These are cowards and traitors. This needs to end.
What happens when you get that rich that makes you get so greedy?
I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before we got on the podcast this morning. There is a thing. There's a trap of wealth that I've never had. And you were telling the story about like somebody understanding that like you got a note card from your boss and a person understood what that stationery should be like. You were talking to a person who grew up wealthy.
Yes. Yes. And she knew, she flipped around the note card to feel if it was raised.
If it was raised in Boston. And that is not a thing I would have ever known about. Yeah. I don't so I think what happens is once you reach an echelon of wealth, life is so much more convenient and so much better. It's kind of like once you start flying first class. Yeah. It's so hard to not fly first class.
Yeah.
Once you start understanding the ease with which you can move through the world with wealth and power, you're so terrified of ever not.
Yeah.
And then it gets worse and worse and worse. The trappings get worse and worse. And also your idea of yourself, your self-perception becomes so skewed.
Yeah.
You become, I mean, they've done studies on this. There was a story in The Atlantic a couple of years of how like wealth, power, and fame change your brain chemistry, which I think I've probably talked about because I reference it a lot.
Oh no, that's fascinating.
But it's almost like going through a maze as a mouse, right? It trains your brain to walk through things in a different way, right? When the maze is easy, your brain changes. When there are fewer corners that you have to get around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your brain changes. Everybody's saying yes to you. You can have whatever you want. I mean, half the people I know right now, this is a little bit different, but half the people I know right now, I think this is fair to say, in long-term marriages, in their late 40s, early 50s, would probably be divorced right now if they had money. And they stayed in their marriages because they couldn't just throw it away because financially. And half of those people, their marriages came back up and they're happy again. Mm-hmm. Like really in love with each other again.
Yeah.
When you can throw anything away, when there's no consequences, of course.
I used to call it, when I was at Condé Nast, I called it the learned helplessness of the Condé Nast editor-in-chief.
And I mean, there were things I was fully capable of doing for myself before I got that job that after I got that job, including like getting my own lunch, you know, that, or, you know, I spent the day after I was fired, like making, you know, putting my assistants paid all my bills for me.
Right.
You know, they did everything for me. And then I heard this story once, and I'm going to say who it's about because I'm also going to say that it's maybe apocryphal.
Okay.
But I heard a story that David Remnick, the editor of The New Yorker, which is a Condé Nast publication, years ago was at the Four Seasons in L.A., and he called his assistant back in New York to ask him to ask housekeeping to send up extra towels. Maybe it's not a true story, but I enjoy that story.
You're talking about that learned helplessness. Imagine that.
I can't.
Multiplied thousands and thousands of times.
The other thing that happens when you're that rich is you're never alone. You're never alone. You have so many people who work for you. You have people in your house. You have bodyguards. You know, you for sure have bodyguards.
No, I once interviewed Prince Charles's butler, former butler. And he used to put toothpaste on Prince Charles's toothbrush in the morning. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? No, you're that rich. You don't even squeeze your own toothpaste.
No,
I mean, you don't know how much anything costs. And so you're like a fucking monster living in the world. You're a spoiled, rotten child.
Listen to us both sounding so bullshit today.
I know. Sorry, but I'm, you know.
No, but it is true. I mean,
I'm a little bit of a socialist. I don't know.
I mean, I can't in good, the founding editor of a magazine about shopping can never in good conscience say that she is right. any degree socialist. But I do think that the kind of wealth that some of these people have is obscene. It's just it obscene. Is. And when I made a lot of money, I paid a lot of taxes and I never tried to get around it because, and I know as it's a different scale. But a lot of those motherfuckers don't even pay taxes.
No, like $0 in taxes.
It's
just crazy.
It's just amazing.
Let's take a quick break for some ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And we're back.
Okay, let me talk about a product I really liked.
Okay, please, go. go.
Because I've got this, I know I should not use antiperspirant, you know.
Okay.
Because antiperspirant has aluminum in it. You know, people think maybe it can cause breast cancer. I've never been able to get a clear answer on this.
I think that's been debunked, but whatever, I hear you, yes.
Well, I feel like, you know, having had breast cancer once, I don't feel like inviting it back in the door.
Right.
But I've never found a deodorant. I have, you know, I think I have smelly armpits, you know. I'm just going to say it. I do. And I was always afraid to use deodorant. You can't smell your own armpits unless it's really bad. Jen just tried to smell her armpit. For those of you not watching.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I found this stuff just at Duane Reade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by this brand called Vichy, V-I-C-H-Y, which mm-hmm. is European, I think French.
I've seen Vichy, that brand.
Vichy yeah. 24-hour dry touch roll-on deodorant. We'll put it in the show notes. But I'm telling you, I have never, ever, ever, ever been able to wear deodorant.
Oh, like, well, I mean, that's amazing.
It's amazing. It works as well as antiperspirant, I really think.
I don't wear deodorant.
Some people don't.
I don't. And I, you know, and sometimes I have smelly armpits, but not that much. And also it's a thing I kind of don't care about. It's disgusting. I'm like French. I don't care. I really don't care.
Can I tell you the other day? It's like Vogue. I was thinking, God, the world has really changed. On Vogue's website,
mm-hmm.
they had a slideshow of women with unshaven armpits.
Wow. For as what? To like...
It's like look what? At these chic women with unshaven armpits or, you know, like free the armpit. I don't know. But I was like, wow, times have changed.
I stopped shaving my armpits during the pandemic and I don't know if I'm ever going to go back to it. I don't know. I'm changing as a person. Like I'm into like a new thing, I guess. And now I kind of have armpits. I'm exactly smelly unkempt. Yeah, exactly. 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 Smelly unkempt. And also definitely like 70s lesbian is my total aesthetic these days. It's just like a Billie Jean King. I mean, where this is all heading someday is Diane Keaton for sure. But that's neither here nor there. No, I really am happy with my, I don't have new product recs, but I basically have figured out that if I go to the Shani Darden website, I just buy all the recommended products there. I bought mm-hmm. my Super Goo, I think it's Super Goo Sunblock there, the Sunblock mm-hmm. 50, which I really like. I like her eye, I like Shani Darden's eye cream. I like the retinol, and I like the glycolic peel pad. So I've just been, that's like a one shot shop for me. And I've been doing it every couple months, and then the vitamin C powder. And I feel like my skin is, I really got it finally down.
Your skin looks great.
I'm really happy about that. So that's my product rec. We have a bunch of questions. I, in the 11th hour, put up on our Facebook group, who wants to ask us questions. And we have a bunch of questions. Do you want to answer them? Unless you have something else, update.
Yes.
Do you have any other updates you want
any
to talk about?
Any other updates?
Yeah, before.
No really other updates. I think I talked about my things. I did watch a great movie that I'd seen before, but Paul had not seen it. So we watched it from the 90s, To Die For.
Oh my God. Nicole Kidman at her peak.
So good.
Ugh. She was, there was a moment there that there's also something called Birthday Girl. I think there's mm-hmm. like a moment where she is just unstoppable. Just like you can't stop looking at her because she's just exquisite, but she's also like an incredible actress. Just
she is such a good actress.
Yeah.
I think if this was like right after her divorce from Tom Cruise and she was taking different kinds of roles, it's such a good movie. Just if you guys haven't seen it, so worthwhile. And it's funny also. Yeah.
No, she's so, so good. I didn't watch anything this week. I only worked.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Here we have a bunch of questions. This is so exciting. Okay. How do you manage perimenopause and menopausal rage anger, especially if it lasts for more than a few days?
I'm gonna defer to you because I wouldn't say that I had a lot of, I didn't have rages.
Okay, so this is my menopause rant, and understand that I am not a doctor, but this is my menopause advice. So the first, 'cause I've had very, very, very severe perimenopause. I've had almost every symptom of the 37 symptoms you can have, or whatever it is, 97 symptoms, I don't remember. And I've been to several specialists and read a bunch of books. The first thing anybody's going to tell you in any of these things who's worth any kind of salt is check your vitamin D levels, because vitamin D actually acts as a kind of hormone, weirdly. And if you have extremely low vitamin D, it can exacerbate the perimenopause transition. So get your vitamin D levels checked. The second thing that will help regulate you, that at least has helped regulate me and might help regulate you, is cutting out things that are triggers for perimenopause symptoms, which will include mood fluctuations and hot flashes. And those triggers may be caffeine, maybe alcohol, maybe refined sugar. You have to sort out what that is for you. Then there are lots of herbal remedies that people take. They didn't work for me that well, but they work for other people. There's maca, there's black cohosh. There's some herbal things. You can look into the herbal things. Electra Health, which is a community of nurse practitioners, I think, but who are experts in menopause, and they do telehealth. So look up Electra Health. They're people we should have on the podcast, by the way. They're really good. The founders are excellent.
They got in touch with me. I should get in touch months ago. I think
they're really, really great. And I think their approach to this is really smart and well-informed, because I think this is both like, this can be handled in both, you know, an East meets West thing to get the whole thing right. Acupuncture can work to balance your hormones. The reason you're having the rage is because your hormones are just out of whack. They're up, they're down, they're up, they're down. It's like PMS. It's just like a crazy, when the estrogen and the progesterone drop, you're crazy. You're either angry or you're depressed, you know, can be anything, anxious. And then if you are a candidate for hormone replacement therapy, talk to a doctor, talk to a naturopath, see if you are a candidate for it, because that can really, really help regulate things. And if you are a candidate, it's not necessarily as scary as everyone has made it out to be.
No, it's not.
But again, I'm not a doctor, so please talk to me.
I know, but how much good information did you just share?
I did. And then I like, what fresh hell is this? I think that Heather Corinna's book is an excellent guide for all of this if you haven't picked that up. And What Fresh Hell Is This deals, you know, as the title suggests, with a lot of the rage and the anger. Now, in the short term, you know, how do you deal with anger? It's like taking a break. As a person who has been through a lot of therapy specifically for anger, it is learning to take the time out so that you can get perspective on the moment. Because if you're reactive for whatever reason, your own trauma, your hormone imbalance, the nature of your relationships, who knows, taking a time out, really saying, I need to get perspective on this, because the anger is not what's bad. It's the reaction. Right. That the anger brings. And if you cannot react, the anger will pass. So that's my advice. Do you have anything to add?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. Next question.
Okay. I'm curious about spiritual practices. Do you have one? How did you find it? How does it impact your quality of life? If you don't have one, why? And do you care?
I don't have a consistent one. And I do care, but I also, I define spiritual very broadly. You know, what spiritual is to me. I mean, spiritual to me is having a connection to your gratitude, right-sizing yourself. You know, I have meditated. I find that helpful. I find it really, 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 really hard. But people say just the practice of doing it is helpful, even if you feel like you're not good at meditating. And, you know, I mean, as far as like the big questions about spirituality go, I feel like I don't know if I believe in God, but I certainly believe in something. I certainly believe that, you know, I mean, you know, when you're 17 years old and you get really stoned on pot and you're like, who created this world? And who created the world that created this world? And what about that world, you know, like I can still send myself into that tailspin pretty quickly. And then it's impossible not to believe there's some greater spirit. Just for me, So that's a long way of saying, no, I don't have a consistent spirituality practice. You?
So, yeah, I was raised Catholic, which was complicated. You know, I went through all of the things that you go through, baptism, communion, confirmation. First marriage was in a Catholic church. Always had problems with Catholicism. And then my parents became very New Age, particularly my mother. So I was raised with a lot of like drum circles and, you know, chakra candles mm-hmm. and crystals and those kinds of things, which I would say both of those religious experiences were used in inappropriate ways to keep us in line as kids. Mm-hmm. So I had a complicated relationship with spirituality growing up, both New Age and, you know, old age. I have gone through stages in my life where I've really, really relied on meditation, like mm-hmm. profoundly, an hour in the morning, an hour at night. I've been on 10-day silent meditation retreats. I am not meditating right now. It winds up being the first thing to go when I get busy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Snacks. What's your favorite snack?
I have so many favorite snacks. I love wasabi peas.
Mm-hmm.
There is this Kettle Brand. This is really bad because I shouldn't be eating this at all. I think it's Kettle Brand Korean barbecue taste and flavored potato chips.
That sounds amazing.
That tastes like Korean barbecue. They're so good. I can't even stand it.
That's wonderful.
So those, but I try to not keep them in the house because they're potato chips. So I like cheese. I'm a big cheese fan. I don't know. What are your snacks?
Well, I used to be just like a constant snacker and I had to stop because that was part of what was fucking up my digestion. Mm. Everything was just constant grazing. So I have stopped, but okay. My real favorite snacks, classic Lay's potato chip. Mm. Oh my God. I could eat 8 bags. I like chocolate covered almonds. I'm a hummus and carrots person.
Me too.
I'll do that. That's an easy snack. I mean, basically, if it's in the house, I'll eat it, you know, and eat a lot of it.
If it's in the house, it's a snack. It qualifies.
Oh, and I make popcorn a lot. I make my own popcorn a lot and, you know, put butter on it and salt.
That's good. I also eat, I mean, and it's kind of embarrassing because I'm 58 years old, but I really like sour gummies. Any kind of sour gummy, I'm there.
I have a small addiction to cough drops. No reason.
So funny.
I just always have cough drops with me. And I've been noticing now that people know that I'm a person who carries cough drops, it actually comes in handy a lot. Because I think as you get older, your vocal cords are less lubricated as everything is less lubricated. So
it would figure.
So it really helps. Okay. Next question. Okay, this is a really hard one, but we're going to answer it. Okay. If Pamela Adlon agreed to be on your podcast, but you could only ask her one question, what would it be?
What topics did you want to approach in the show, but you decided it was too much?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I think that I might want to know how she feels about this accomplishment, how it feels to have put out a show, a dream show like this, and where she feels like that's now positioned her in her career mm-hmm. and life, right? So is this it? Is this the one, you know? Did she finally reach it? And where's her ambition now?
That's a good question. A good question. Now, I saw that somebody in an old document asked how we met our partners.
Oh. Yeah, let's do that. Let's answer that one. You go first.
I met my partner on Tinder. I did. I was going through a particularly bad losing streak on Tinder. And if you pay extra, you can like send notes to people before you've matched with them. And he sent me a note saying he liked my musical tastes. And I wasn't sure about writing back to him because I have had 3 deal killers when I was dating online. One was if there was a photograph of the person with the celebrity. 2, if there was a photograph of the person at the gym. And three, finally, if there was a person, a photograph of the person on a private jet.
And
he had a picture of himself with the guys in Devo.
Okay.
Which I ultimately, but I remember I showed you his picture and I was like, I don't know. I mean, and you were like, he looks fun. He looks cool. I showed another friend. She's like, he looks really cool. So I did get in touch with him. And then we made a plan for a date. And we got, and then it just all happened. And you guys met because you worked together, right?
We worked together. Alex was 23. It was both of our first job in New York, except I just started so late. So Alex was 22 or 23, and I was almost 28. And we just liked each other. We happened to have apartments near each other in Brooklyn, so we would often ride the train home after work together. We started doing laundry together on the weekends and getting high. And he had a girlfriend, but we were just friends. And then 4 years after that, we saw each other at a party one night, and he had broken up with his girlfriend, and we became friends again. And then we were friends for a couple of months, and finally we're like, oh, let's start making out. Like, it was just the easiest. We were just really good friends. We were like the kind of friends who, like, you were reading a book and you emailed the person like a big passage from it. You know, we were really conversationally complimentary. We just, you know, it's one of those things that it was like, it should have been obvious. And if I was watching a movie of my life, it would have been obvious, but it wasn't at the time. That's how I met him.
I like that story.
It's fine. It's good. Jesus Christ, we're going to have to answer some of these later. Okay. Always interested to hear more about midlife friendships. Loved your author episode about this topic. How frequently do you and Kim make new friends, and how do you go about it? How much effort goes into friendship maintenance these days?
I would say I make new friends almost never.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just the truth. I do. Make new friends. But, you know, like, I made friends with my friend Michelle, who lived in my building on Delancey Street.
Right.
You know, and then you think you made a friend, and then it's like, oh, wait, you know, that one didn't happen. It didn't take.
Yeah.
But I would say that I do spend, you know, a decent amount of energy on friendship maintenance, certainly more than I did when I was younger.
I spend a lot more time on friendship maintenance than I used to, at 100%, really just checking in with my, you know, core 10 people. Mm-hmm. And things I didn't used to do, like, you know, going for a walk so I can have a conversation with them privately, you know, taking time away from the time I have with my husband to spend time with friends, prioritizing going out with them over going out with him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that instead of making new friends, one thing I've been doing is I've been going back a lot to old friendships. Mm-hmm. I've been like texting my high school friends. I've become, you know, investing in the friendships that I kind of let lapse, you know?
I mean, I will say this is one thing, at least in my life, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was true in other people's lives too, that COVID really helped with. I reconnected with so many people during COVID, so many old friends that now feel like really solid, good friendships again.
I find the whole thing really frustrating. I think I'm getting better at it, and I don't have as much anxiety around it as I used to.
Yeah, I don't either. I used to have more.
Yeah, no, I think we've both gotten better at this. Okay, I think we did it. Okay, wait. Yeah, I think we did it. We did it. Okay. all right. Yeah, that's an episode.
Yay.
Happy 100, Kim France.
Yay.
Thank you so much for listening to Everything Is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France. And we should also say thank you, Tally Abacasis, for having the idea to start this podcast in the first place.
100%. Many thanks to Tally Abacasis. If you like this show, please rate and review it on the podcast. We frequently read reviews on air, 5-star reviews, so please send them in. If you want to support the shows, the production of the show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We're on social media. We're on Instagram at EIF Podcast. We're on Twitter. We have a private Facebook group, which is where we got all of the questions from today. You can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. You can find me on tinyletter.com/everythingisfine. And I keep forgetting to say this, and I'm very sorry I do. Our show is edited and mixed by Natalie Rivera, who we love very, very much and could not do it without. And that's it. That's the week.
Yay.
Yay.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.